Open up your ears and open up your mind. They'll reach into your throat and pull out your spine. And when the sun blows up and the earth is gone, there's still experience grind with Kyle and Sean.
What was the highest rated movie so far, according to the Kickass-ometer?
Kyle, what's the highest that you've given? I think
it was your movie.
One I gave. Really?
For some reason.
No way. No way.
I think
it had to have been.
I don't know. This one, the last one, I gave a 13. I think I threw all my other scores away.
My highest scoring one, was Unleashed. Either that, or it was. I think it may have tied with. Oh man, what the hell was the name of Phil's?
The Jean-Claude Van Damme
six names.
One?
Desert.
Yeah. Desert Heat.
I was going to say Desert Hawk.
Inferno.
In Inferno. What a weird movie. To have like six different names.
Like,
no matter where you look, it has a different fucking cover.
I really liked it. Have either of you seen that one, Inferno?
I had never heard of it before your podcast with Phil.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd never heard of it.
I never had either.
Watch it.
You really, really should.
Watch it.
It is up there as in like one of the best bad movies I've seen in a long time.
It's terrible.
It was so enjoyable.
Okay.
Like, but it's bad in free on way. Prime.
Yes, yes. It was such a fucking treat to watch, like, from start to finish. Just absolute ridiculous.
All right.
If you like bad movies, I really enjoyed it, so.
I think, wrapping back to what Ryan asked, I think the highest I've given a movie is 13, maybe, out of 23.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I gave.
I think they've all been within between 11 and 13.
I'd argue it's pretty low. I'm surprised we've not been able to get, like, at
I
least
cannot
in, like, the
wait
high
to
teens.
See what movie has to be watched to hit a perfect 23. Like, I don't
I think
know
Die Hard
if that
2.
Movie exists.
Die Hard 2. Die Hard 2 has butts. Die Hard 2 has it has a fucking body count. It's got everything. I think it's Die
Hard.
It does
have a whole plane crash, doesn't it?
It does.
Jesus
it
Christ.
It does. And I'm pretty sure
man,
somebody
that might
dies
be a perfect movie.
By like a fire hose or something. Like there's some silly
I
shit.
Also, weapon. I feel like Commando would have been close if not perfect.
Why the fuck did I join you guys after you got past the good diehards?
Yeah, that's a bummer. That's a real bummer.
Yeah, those were the highlight of
that sucks. I'm glad we moved on to these, because spoilers, boys. Turns out I really like buddy cop movies.
Oh, man.
I don't care how bad this movie may have been. We're good. Don't know. I enjoyed it. If not for the runtime.
It's crazy that, like, this is like when you hear, all right, so if you're, like, into music now, but then, like, someday, for whatever reason, you go back and you hear, like, Led Zeppelin for the first time, and you're like, wow, this is really fucking good, but I feel like I've heard it a lot because it's influenced so much other stuff. I feel like this is like the blueprint of every buddy cop ever after. And they're all just like a somewhat cheaper, not, I don't want to say cheaper copy, because some do it better, but it also, there's so many things that you feel it's in the pop culture zeitgeist too. Like so much of this movie, you've just, because I've never seen three, like I've never seen any of these, like all the way through. I, for some reason, like, always thought the Joe Pesci character was like a witness protection thing.
Wasn't he in two? Do I not remember that correctly?
He was in two. Oh,
yeah, he's introduced in two. Mm-hmm.
Leo Getz.
No,
was
I mean
in two.
As like a protection thing.
Yeah.
Was that it?
And then
okay.
He just became
that was
a friend.
They're like assigned to.
And now they're just friends, and he's part of the hashtag family.
I get it now. Mm-hmm. Okay.
As
I forgot
know,
everything about Lethal Weapon 2, apparently.
Dude,
I cannot remember
a single thing about 2.
I remember it was about the
Weapon 2 is forgettable.
The UN guys that have diplomatic immunity.
That's the only thing.
Yeah.
That is the only thing about Lethal Weapon 2 that is important.
Yeah, diplomatic. Danny Glover did one with the helicopter. McCarthy joke. That's right.
Yeah.
That was the one with the helicopter, right?
Yeah, the helicopter.
And a toilet
shooting.
Bomb.
I remember the toilet bomb. And I remember the really not exciting final fight on like a dark barge.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yep. All right, it's all coming back.
I spent a lot of time, precisely about 2 hours, while watching Lethal Weapon 3, trying to remember what the fuck happened in Lethal Weapon 2.
I would like to point out, no idea. I think...
Yo, Leo showed up, and I'm like, damn, he looks familiar. That's cool.
All three of you, if I remember correctly, and we can check the records, really enjoyed Lethal Weapon 2.
Yeah.
To which I think I was like straight, like, this is a 5 out of 10, middle of the road, forgettable nothing. And yet here we are, only 6 months later, not remembering Lethal Weapon 2.
And I gotta say, it's not often I actually forget a movie. Because I may forget that I've watched it, but as soon as you mention it, you know, I'll remember what happened in it. I think I remembered saying that I liked it more than one.
You did.
But
I think you and Michael
you're
both.
You're right. In the moment, I think I did like it more than one. Mm-hmm. But man, I honestly... If we didn't just talk about what happened in that movie, no idea.
Here's what I hate more than anything is when Ryan is right. And God
it's
damn
true.
It,
I hate it, too. So I try to make it happen as little as possible.
That's a solid strategy. Very unassuming.
It keeps you out of the limelight. When you're just wrong, nobody looks to you. Right? It's a good safety strategy.
What's the opposite of a soothsayer?
You're like,
that's
oh my
me.
God, he's right.
True. You get like double the points.
Yeah.
Nostradamus more
I'll definitely eat the L on that.
Like though, Nostradamus. Yeah.
It's hard to go back though and change your mind on how you thought about something in the moment. But I remember everything in Lethal Weapon 1, and who knows if I'll remember this one in 6 months? I might. I really like the hockey scene. The hockey area. But I feel like a lot of this also has the potential for me to not remember, but I enjoy them as a duo. I'm a sucker for it.
All right. So again, we're jumping right in, boys. Cause also greetings. Hello, Michael and Ryan. Thanks for coming to our yearly tradition of, it's yearly now. This is the second time.
Biannual now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're into Lethal Weapon 3. What is there one more after this? Is there actually a 4? Okay.
Yes. Yeah.
So there is a 4 that we'll get to.
Then it's Beverly Hills Cop.
This December. Is that what we're going into?
I don't know.
Dude,
that's
I would
that
love
I
for
do.
Beverly Hills Cop to be the next series because I cannot wait to see Axel F. I'm legit pumped to watch it.
I don't know. I thought we should all pick one and draw the next one out of a hat. At the end of this year.
It's not a bad idea.
That's a good idea, because
I'm still
too.
Pushing. I want to do Rush Hour.
Rush Hour is also
I would love Rush Hour.
There's three of those.
It's a good one, too.
So, yeah, ooh. I think we all, just pick, we'll just draw out of the hat.
The beautiful thing about that is there's only three of them, so mm-hmm. you get to all three of them in a calendar year.
Mm-hmm.
It's not bad.
We could
knock it out.
But then I got to fill, the other 48 weeks with other stuff that I'm gonna hate.
Some movie about flying sharks will be in there, I'm sure.
No,
I don't know if they're flying via tornadoes or other crossbreed with parrots. Maybe is there a shark parrot movie? Can I write that and sell it to Sci-Fi? Is Sci-Fi still around?
Shark-demic.
Shark-demic.
There's a new cat themed one coming out. I saw it. Before. I forget.
What?
Oh my god, I need to look it up. Because
it
was just as ridiculous.
House cat-sized cats or like bobcats and lions and shit?
No, house cats.
That's okay. Fucking
silly. Is it
silly.
With a different natural disaster or is it still
Oh no,
natives?
It's Cat-Nado. Never mind. It's a couple years old.
Is it really called
Cat-Nado? Oh, it's
sharp
okay.
claws, what? Man.
Motherfuck.
Cat-Nado. Yep, there it is. The forecast is clawful.
Oh.
Wow. I gotta say, I made a joke at Ryan's expense earlier this year about your mustache. I take that back, man. That thing is looking really nice.
It's working.
Thank you.
Yeah.
The trick was shaving off anything below the chin.
Yes, that chin does help a lot.
Stupid. I can't grow a fucking full beard to save me, and I was really clinging on to that little bit of chin fuck. Get rid of it. Just get rid of
the mustache.
It.
No, this looks fantastic. It's a good look, man. I like it.
And the other trick is to just like full on commit and say fuck everybody else. Mm-hmm. That's like, that looks terrible, because you know what? After about 6 months, people won't be able to even imagine you without a mustache. They'd be like, no, don't shave that. That looks silly.
Sean, you also looked good with one. I think that's true. Gave it up because Mitchell roasted you so much. I liked you with the mustache.
Everybody in this world roasted me.
I didn't.
Oh my God. You're the only one. Yeah. I look terrible.
I can't do a mustache because it's the facial hair of my dad, and I'm not doing it.
Yeah.
I got a letter in the mail from every single school within like 30 miles saying, please stop driving.
You had the mustache?
No,
the
you did work. Not. No.
No. Of course I didn't.
It's because you also walk to work
did
with
you
that
get one
thing.
Letter?
You're just.
Sean, we know you're going out of your way. What are you doing?
I like. Ryan with the mustache and messing with chickens is now a good mental image in my head.
This is my life.
The shorts with the rain boots.
The chicken just starts like misbehaving, and Ryan just twists the mustache. Yeah, like time to get back in the coop.
You gotta get after them chickens.
Your mustache is better looking than the antagonists of this film, but we'll get there later. What film are we talking about?
That.
We're into the Lethal Weapon Trey?
Trace.
Yes.
Trois. Dry.
Yep,
the third one.
So
third time's the charm.
Third time? Is it the charm? That's the opening. Is third time the charm? Is
If it was 25 minutes shorter.
Oh, Sean coming out the gate. That's what I sent him a message. I was like, I want to make t-shirts that say you should have cut 30 minutes out.
Yeah, I would wear that. So this week has been absolutely insane work-wise. And I didn't know if I was actually going to be able to get out of like a 12-hour shift today. So yesterday was a very rare occasion that I watched the movie the day before instead of the day of.
I was caught off guard.
And boy howdy, I'm glad that I did, because I sat down and I rented this bad boy and I looked at the timestamp, the runtime. I'm like, fuck me. Oh, no. But it flew by, I guess.
It's
a lot of time to try to think of what happened in two.
I will say, so the Lethal Weapon series, they sure kick off with, there's action all over the place in this movie. The very first scene is an action movie, but I think Lethal Weapon 3, I've noticed, is the one where it takes the Die Hard 4 route, although I guess maybe a little Die Hard 3 too, but literally these guys are fucking superheroes at this point. Like, especially Mel Gibson. He is almost supernatural. And but also, he's like a charming rogue that can also survive falling off buildings. So
or buildings falling
and
on
has
him.
That too.
And has flawless kung fu. Yes.
I'll just say it. He's Wolverine. He turns into Wolverine in this movie. He's just angry force of nature that just gets unleashed whenever it needs to be.
Can I just say, that makes me like this movie even more?
I mean, all right, I'm not going to hold my cards close to the chest. Check the tapes. I think Lethal Weapon 2, at most, I don't love it. I kind of think I secretly love Lethal Weapon 3, and I don't know what it is, but it might be like that they finally let Riggs be the Wolverine character and just kind of unhinged. I think you're not wrong that Riggs and Murtaugh are like untouchable. They are invincible. They are cartoon characters almost. But I think that's balanced out with like some other stuff, like Leo Gatz showing up and then getting shot, and like there are a little bit of stakes, or killing, quote unquote, the babies. The babies, mm-hmm. and like this whole concept of like the youth getting guns and stuff and like having to take a life, or like a young cop dying. I think they do enough to ground everything around Riggs and Murtaugh while allowing them to be like fucking action heroes and do like silly shit like they've done.
I agree wholeheartedly. There's enough gravity going on around them through the movie. Like, and it's all over the place. And I was here for the chaos. Mm-hmm. Like, it felt like at any given time, there was four or five different things going on at once outside of that mm-hmm. given scene that they're in. But every single one of them was interesting to me, whether it be like the whole getting demoted thing and then their reactions while being demoted with everybody else in the picture, but also seeing them work the street beat cop routine. Like, at no point with them being street beat cops are they street beat cops. Literally, the first day of being that, they see a heist going on. And then they get into a gunfight with a bunch of kids. And then, like, he inadvertently thinks that a movie being in progress was another crazy thing going on. Like, at no point, outside of the very humorous jaywalking scene, like, that's the only thing in this movie where it's like, oh, okay, cool. That's what they should be doing right now. They should be doing that. Take away their guns, please. Dear Lord. Sorry. Yeah, I agree.
I enjoyed seeing all of that through the lens of today. And also, like, not only are these guys superheroes, there's just blatant police abuse in this fucking movie, man. With including the jaywalking scene where it's guy jaywalking and immediately Riggs pulls a fucking gun on him and is waving it in his face. And this is also, like, I think just shy of the actual L.A. riots when L.A. literally, like, rioted against the police force over police brutality. And then it's in this, it's wild to look at through that lens of history. And, but I think it applies.
Go ahead.
I was just going to, it applies to their superhero aspect too. It's sort of this Reaganification of like the military and police force through like the late 80s where like they were this superhero force that were propagandized to this nth level, and it just bled over into all this other type of media, and it's wild to see, man.
Well, it's not very often that I watch, I'm glad that you brought that up, because it's not very often I watch a movie and I, there was a scene where Cole and I think it was just Cole and Riggs went to the warehouse or to the auto body shop. And there was a scene where Cole was just whipping the shit out of this dude for saying fuck you to her. And immediately I was like, damn, that's police brutality. 100%. That is what are you doing? You can't do that.
Yeah. Woof. Yep. And that's
it's where laden with that.
We can get into like rankings later, but this is why I don't, as much as I enjoy this movie, it is not up there with like the first one for me, at least, because I think it is a little messy in its kind of depiction of all this stuff. Like, I think it has some good ideas, but it, like, it's also, as you're saying, like, as these two, like, there are some very clear examples of police brutality and some shit that does not age well. It's very problematic. But then the movie tries to have its cake and eats it too by like having the villain be like a dirty cop and be this commentary on dirty policemen and all this stuff. And it's like this, I don't know, this kind of like mea culpa that doesn't quite gel. It's like, kudos for you, your heart's in the right place, but I still don't feel like you're quite all the way there. And that's, I don't know, that's how overall I feel the messaging comes across. It's a little,
it's I think messy. It's also well-meaning, a little ironic messy. That it's commenting and like playing this world of dirty cops and corruption and whatnot, and you literally have Riggs and Cole just saying fuck it to all ethics of what's going on in that police department. Like, it's the same but different. Obviously not the same thing, but it's in the same universe of what are you doing?
Well, it's okay because it's for the meet cute and they're going to have like a cute little romance. So it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're both little psychopaths. Yeah. It's cool. Yeah. They're cute.
They both they get a dog numerous times.
That was one of the first things I questioned. I'm glad you brought that up, Michael, because yeah, like at first Rene Russo's character is the calm, level-headed internal affairs officer, and then all of a sudden she's been shot as many times as Riggs. Why?
Yeah.
Did it ever go over? Like, was, I mean, I assume she was in the field, you know, prior to whatever position she's in now, but like,
yeah,
that was my assumption, but they didn't make it clear.
There are a lot of see, that's kind of why I was kind of sour on this movie, actually. There's not a lot of stuff that's laid out. Like,
huh.
If FromSoft made a Lethal Weapon movie, like, it would be this one. Like, you kind of have to figure it out yourself, and it doesn't really work for me that way.
This one definitely seemed more designed to just jump from set piece to set piece. But,
this movie didn't have time to add exposition.
No.
Please don't will that.
I cannot disagree more. I am surprised by this because I think, like, there's like the opening set piece, and then there is a wide dearth of action until you get to like the final 20-30 minutes. And then like from the highway set piece on, like there's action, but like from minute 10 to like minute, I don't know, an hour and a half, there's not a lot of action, and it's mostly exposition. It is getting into like Danny Glover's like almost PTSD from shooting this kid, and like Riggs and Murth, or sorry, wait, which one? Riggs yeah. Is Mel Gibson. Riggs and Cole's meet cute and all of this stuff. Like, it gets so sidetracked in this exposition and world building. I don't think this is like a very action packed Lethal Weapon. I think when the action is on screen, it's really good, but like, I would say compared to the first two, this is like maybe the least action so far in a Lethal Weapon.
And more world building.
Yeah, there's so much exposition in this one, at least for me. I thought it was a lot of character building and like, well, we don't know what to do now, so let's really delve into like Mel Gibson's like character's emotions and like give him like a romantic interest and a way out and like some character beats and really talk about some things. And like they even have like beats for like Rian's acting shit, and as silly and hokey as that stuff is, like they have like it, there's so much exposition.
I thought it was fantastic.
Disagree with that's I so far I agree with everything that's been said so far. I just think this is not the action movie at all. This is maybe the least action Lethal Weapon.
I just don't like the balance more exposition of it then. I mean, because I kind of see what you're saying. I mean, I can pick out some action scenes in that the dearth you mentioned.
Yeah, like maybe
it's just like how they spread it out just didn't really work for me. It's just like, okay, maybe. We have, you know, we're starting with all these scenes at the beginning, then going in, oh no, we need to sprinkle in like the armored truck chase real quick. Oh no, we need to sprinkle in going to the garage real quick. It's just like Kyle said, it's kind of jumpy. And I just didn't really jive with that.
And there's also, like, even in those sections you're talking about, Ryan, there are still a lot of action sequences, even if they're smaller. Because I include, like, the spot where, like, he tackles the guy in the middle of the movie. I still consider that an action sequence because he's running, he's jumping, he's fighting. Even though it's short, they still have, like, the action camera quick cuts on him. Because there's, like, almost a meme through like the middle section of this movie where literally everywhere Riggs goes, something bad happens that he can then interact with. He just is the luckiest unlucky cop in the entire city because there is crime literally everywhere he looks.
Everywhere he looks.
And even with Murtaugh dealing with shooting the kid, that still had to happen in the scene. There was the shootout.
Yeah.
behind the whatever grill stand where Danny Glover was having the shootout with those guys, and then Mel Gibson like kind of, you know, sneaks around with his gun trying to see what's going on, you know.
And then
you're not wrong. And then like the fights in the warehouses and whatnot.
Even when him and Murtaugh have their like joint like bro together moment, it's during a fight, which is still another action sequence. I feel there is so much action in this movie, but they do a pretty good job putting it in with the story. But then I also feel like they had so many set pieces they wanted to do, they jam a bunch of them in there as well. Yeah. I think they did such a good job,
like hitting so many story beats and really expanding on the characters in the world. It's like Ryan said, he had mentioned, you know, Murtaugh's little crisis for the, you know, between the half and the third mark of the movie, where he goes to his boat, he's drinking.
He kind of just like disappears.
Flip flop of the first yes. movie, you know. Where Murtaugh is helping Riggs out of his situation, mm-hmm. and this one you just have the polar opposite. So I'm glad that it has a bit of both.
I'm really glad you brought that up. I thought that was a very nice touch, and kind of like the flip flop, the mentor becoming the teacher, or flip flop, whatever you want to call them. But like one person who has been like the caretaker is now having to be like taken care of, and mm-hmm. I thought that was mm-hmm. like. If you are doing a franchise, these are kind of like the beats you need to do to like keep your characters interesting. And I will say, like, structurally, if we're just like breaking it down that way, I appreciate Lethal Weapon 3 for doing that. Whereas I felt Lethal Weapon 2 was just like them rehashing a lot of the same beats that Lethal Weapon 1 did. Lethal Weapon 3, for as messy as it is, does do some different things. And I like what it's mm-hmm. doing differently. And, like, we'll see when it comes to 4, like, they keep evolving it in this very different direction. And 4 is a very different movie from 1. And it really does just evolve into its own thing. I don't know. I really like this step. I guess I like this transitionary step quite a bit. It's messy. Not perfect. And I agree with a lot of the issues. Man, it's so funny
you said the things about the rehashes, because that's how I felt about this movie comparing it to Lethal Weapon 2. Because, like,
you think this rehashed Lethal Weapon 2?
There bits of it.
Okay.
Like, okay, you know how, okay, it's like what you said, actually, I think when we were talking about Lethal Weapon 2, Joe Pesci's character... It's like, oh, okay, here he's going. We have the zany, funny guy who is really annoying, and they just mock him all the time. And then you mm-hmm. had Riggs' love interest in the second one that was really just sort of a filler thing to make him really, really mad for some reason.
I actually forgot all about her.
Yeah, the whatever South African lady, Dutch lady. And then now we have another love interest here in the third one that they have some common ground with. It's just, I don't know. There were not enough things, in my opinion, that changed it up, and it didn't bring more things to the table, in my view.
I'm glad Brian brought up the words evolve, because as much as I do gripe against it, I kind of feel like this movie had to be 2 hours long, because we are essentially introducing a completely new character, and we have to evolve that character as well, which is Rene Russo, who is becoming an equal to Riggs and Murtaugh. And I think she has a big part in 4 as well. She becomes a staple figure.
Okay.
So that's why I think she has so much character development. And that's why I think this movie is 2 hours. Because that whole, like, third quarter of this movie is fleshing her out with her relationship with Riggs. It's giving her... the meet cute opportunity. They go over their scars to show us that she's badass. Then she kicks ass in two separate fights, where like in the gunfight she rocks ass, and then it like when she meets Murtaugh at the garage and she beats up like those five guys, and Mel Gibson is almost like coming in his pants about it.
She's police brutalized.
Yeah. Also, just beats the absolute fuck out of five guys. I also enjoyed the cop killer bullets. It was a cool MacGuffin style weapon to bring like a vulnerability to the cops that always wear bulletproof vests, because that's always
I
like
think
sort
we're
of that
come back to this
ace in the hole of a lot of these cop movies is like, oh, he got hit. I do like that it, essentially the way they just solved this is, oh, she wore two. That stops
she wore
them.
Two.
Even though they like just previously it had punched through like four parts of a fucking bulldozer and killed that guy. It yes. just takes two vests this time. It's such just boiled down essential 90s action movie. He's running around like
yes.
The fucking Always Sunny parodies are so on the nose because it's so accurate. Yep. Like when he's sprinting with two fucking pistols and just firing them. And just like classic shit that like gets parodied to the ground because it's so ridiculous at this point even, but it totally works.
Yeah. It works because of the characters. It is. And also, I think this is like 1992. It
yep. just, yeah.
It looks like it belongs no matter how stupid and silly. Like when he's running down with the two pistols, mm-hmm. like this is so extra. You're not John Wick, son.
I think that, all right, so maybe Michael is right in that this repeats a lot of elements of Lethal Weapon 2. I actually don't disagree with that. I think that's like maybe perfect. I just don't remember a lot of Lethal Weapon 2.
As you
maybe
predicted.
My issue with Lethal Weapon 2, and I don't remember it, is I think Lethal Weapon 3 fully embraces being a cartoon. This yes. is full Looney Tunes. And maybe like Lethal Weapon 2 had its foot in the door of cartoony. Yes, it like flirted with some shit.
He even does
but,
like the eye poke a couple
times. Also
trying
to be like super hard R. And I don't like remember anything in this movie being like really like that's super hard R. It felt like more cartoony.
This could have been PG-13.
Yeah, this could have been a PG-13 minus any of the violence. Like, and maybe they said fuck, but like there mm-hmm. wasn't any of the shit like the torture, the like the electrocution torture, like really like maybe harder elements of like, oh, this lady's naked and on drugs and going to jump off of a tall building. Like, there's really hard R elements in the first two movies where I feel like this just goes full Looney Tunes in a Joe Dante way, and I kind of dig it. And I feel like if they were going for the Three Stooges stuff in Lethal Weapon 2, it was all surface level and it didn't really click with me. This one, it felt like they embodied it without just having to say like, hey, guess what? We're Three Stooges, because we're literally quoting Three Stooges. It just felt like that in the action. Well, again, also maintaining a little bit of like sincerity as much as they can in these movies, you know, because they are at the end of the day just big, silly action movies. But like, I don't know. They did try to go for a little bit of heart here, and mm-hmm. God damn it, I appreciate it.
Yeah. It felt like instead of... like, what I enjoyed about Lethal Weapon 2, I think I remember saying that it felt like having two characters that I really enjoyed and giving me another story. And I think I... Oh, Jesus. What is that? Never mind. It doesn't matter. But usually you can give me like characters that I really enjoy and just put it in really anything and I'll watch it. I'm a sucker for that. If it's characters that I love, I'll usually sit down, watch it, enjoy it, forget it, obviously. whereas this one didn't feel like it was just two characters that I enjoyed being just in a throwaway story that doesn't really matter. And I'm thrilled to hear that Cole has a bigger character role in Lethal Weapon 4, because that would have been a bummer to have so much, not to be like waste so much screen time on her, mm-hmm. but to like go through all of the building for her just to have her not even have a role in the next movie, you know. So yep.
4 also brings in Jet Li, does it not?
Yes,
you guys keep saying that.
I'm hyped.
Some Ooh. Of the best Lethal Weapon action scenes yet.
Damn! Oh, yeah.
It's
I'm
good.
Here for that.
I think we also need to decide, do we watch the Always Sunny Lethal Weapons?
Yes.
I kind of think we do 100%. One episode on all of them.
Yeah.
Sick.
Because what they did...
There's got to be a compilation.
They did 5, 6, and 7, I think. We'll have to find... I don't think they're listed online anymore.
Oh, I can find them.
Yeah, we'll find them.
Did Hulu remove them? Those fucking cowards.
They did.
Because of what, blackface?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Dang.
Even but it's...
Though that's
it's
that
such...
point...
Exactly, you know, but you know, I get it. They did it to Community too. Took off the D&D episode,
but they still have the Atlanta episode where Donald Glover wears whiteface. Interesting.
And Chappelle's Show.
What? There's a few Atlanta episodes where Donald Glover wears whiteface.
Yeah, it looks like they're 5, 6, and 7.
Yeah. Okay, I thought they did. They did three of them. So. That'll be fun. All right. So, gentlemen, there are four of us. And I feel like this is... We found this out last week, especially with Phil as our guest. The kick-assometer really allows you to dive deeper into the favorite parts that you like of a movie. So I figure at this halfway point, what better time than to jump in and we can all start breaking it down with our official action movie... Half December part duo.
Why do you do this
action
every week?
I can't.
It changes every time.
Yeah.
We're not going to commit to anything.
No. But the official.
Why must you do this?
Copyrighted kick-assometer. Not at all stolen or modified from Beer Me a Movie's cheap.
No, okay.
Cheap rating tech.
They, I've never heard of that
can't
podcast.
They copyright a way of life and an idea, okay? It came off the top of the dome, and it just so happened to be
very close. It's our original idea. We will sue you. This is a lawyer threat to Dave Michaels. Brian, you're perfect.
A subpoena, motherfucker.
A subpoenas.
Hey.
Oh, man.
I'll cut it off and mail it to him.
Oh, my God.
All right,
Vincent Van
Gogh,
that dick.
Vincent Van Gogh, fuck yourself. How about that?
I suffer for this art, damn it.
Oh my god.
It's all right.
I felt so clever when I like came up with all of these categories. I'm like, oh,
they're
way 23.
You have
and
a butts
like
category. It's already so much better. Elevated immediately. So
nice.
Don't sell yourself short, baby. We're
no, growing. It was about 20 minutes later that I'm like, oh, this is just the rating score from like Cape Podcasters. What the fuck?
Well,
God damn it.
He'd sent it to me, and then he sent me that later, and I was like, oh, yeah, I picked up. I thought that was the point.
It wasn't.
I thought we were aping that. So, yeah. So, Sean, why don't you kick it off, buddy?
All right. So, I'm kicking it off? Oh, I see how it is. He learned last week when I just sit here and I stooge, and I'm like, oh, what do you think? And I changed my answers. This is fucked up, man.
It
all
is.
Right. This is a kick-assometer. We have a maximum of 23 points plus one bonus point that can be allotted to these movies. We each have our own individual ones. It's obviously just for new listeners. The first category that Kyle sent to me is action quality, and it has a maximum high score of 5 points. You can assign half points to any of these except for story. We'll get there. And boys, I will start this off by saying I gave this movie a 3. I gave it a 3. I didn't think it was super low. I didn't think it was super high. Honestly, I didn't change it from the last movie that we did, whatever we decided to call that, Inferno. I thought it had a little bit more than that, but inconsequentially so. What there was, I thought it was good, but there wasn't a ton of it, and it wasn't amazing. So I'll pass it off to somebody else. Man, I don't like going first, Kyle. Ryan, what did you think? What did you give action quality?
I'm right there with you. I think this is a 3 out of 5. If 2.5 is like the straight average, like middle of the road, it's slightly more than that. It's all fine. There's nothing bad here, but like also nothing that blew my mind. I think there are fun moments in like the highway chase and during the end, but like ultimately, like, I don't know that anything really stands out in the way like the helicopter shit did in like the previous one, or even like some of the Gary Busey shit. Fucking like just Gary Busey taking a lighter to the arm, I think, is maybe like more creative action than anything in this movie. It's just all,
yeah,
it's all pretty standard. So I'm with you. Like, it's good. Nothing phenomenal. Three out of five.
Ryan, you send it to whoever you want now.
Oh, well, Michael, because he was here the whole time, obviously.
Pulling back the curtain a little bit. So I'm kind of surprised you guys went three. I originally had four because...
Whoa.
Like, yeah, I know. But you kind of talked me down a little bit. I went 3.5 because what action there was, I thought was effective. And that's really all I'm asking for it. Like, I don't need there to be like some, I mean, if there were like some super defining thing like the helicopter or, you know, something like that, you know, Tom Cruise jumping off the cliff on the motorcycle in whatever Mission Impossible that was, that would be
Dead
like
Reckoning.
4.5, 5. Dead Reckoning. Thank you. But yeah, what was there? You know, Riggs riding on the front of a vehicle two separate times in the thing was awesome. Him chasing a car that somehow is affixed to subway rails was pretty sweet. And then, of course, everything with the fire at the end. I just thought it was cool. So, like, as much as I was ragging on this movie earlier, I thought, like, the core of it, the action was quite good.
You Can know, I change I mine to
this
3.5?
Beauty.
Yes, let's go.
Because like there's also like the giant explosion in the beginning too, like that building exploding.
Yeah,
is pretty
the bomb right
cool.
off the bat.
Yeah, it's silly as shit with like Murtaugh grabbing the cat and all, but like that explosion is legit. I'm
it was
3.5.
Legit demolition, right?
Mm-hmm. I think yeah, I'm changing mine to 3.5.
Both of them were.
All right, I
think.
Oh, go ahead.
This is the beauty of the kick-ass-ometer like scoring system. I think it was either last week or the week before. Kyle and I work on completely different ends. I think it was Streets of Fire. We are on completely different ends of like where we were scoring. Like he was super low up here and like I was super high up here. But at the end of at the end of the thing and we revealed it, I think we had the exact same score somehow. So it's like, it's all really what you think about those things, and it all just balances out in the end. It's wild.
I can't wait to see how this one shakes out.
I'm not going to change mine, but I can see, and I want to change mine, but I'm not going
to. I am also not changing mine.
Wait. I'm going to pass it to Kyle.
Oh, there we go. I am also not changing mine. I'm staying fitted, new era committed. A rose-colored glasses guy. I enjoyed the shit out of the action in this movie. I gave this thing a 5, dog. I went full 5.
Ooh,
because you do start off with a legitimate building demolition. You do end with a legitimate burning of half-completed fucking houses. These are real things they did. The highway chasing was great. There's action literally peppered throughout every section of this movie. It is dense with action. They're not all bangers, but that's fine. It's like a sandwich. You got to start off heavy. You're going to keep taking bites and enjoy it all throughout. And then you're going to end with that last bite with the perfect crispness and maybe a little extra sauce because you've pushed it there with your teeth. But it's going to be fucking fantastic. Yeah, I think this movie's not perfect, but I think the action is pretty fucking fantastic,
God
man.
Damn it.
So
I'm changing mine back to 4. Hell yeah.
Dude, at one point, Mel
so
Gibson
back.
Kills a guy by flinging like paint thinner now. Onto him. And they had like the mask like look like... a face? This is fucking good, man.
Murtaugh kills a guy by... He, like, roundhouse kicks somebody and then throws, like, a hammer at another guy, which, like, impales him
oh,
in the
Oh, he has a hammer.
I'm going up to a 4.
Yeah, dog. This movie's solid. I'm telling you.
I'm sorry. I said I wasn't going to change it. But Ryan, you know how every time you come onto the show and, like, we watch a movie and I come onto the show being like, nah, didn't really like it. And by the end of the podcast, I'm like, I fucking love this movie.
Yeah. It's going, like, to happen tonight again.
This is how I
again.
Feel hearing yeah. the reasoning behind these scores. And I can't leave it at a 3. I feel like that's doing a disservice.
All right. Next up, we have Antagonist. Sean, what is the maximum score on Antagonist?
That's a 4, baby.
That's a 4 on Antagonist.
For again, no reason at all.
Nope. No rhyme or reason. For this nope. one, we have this smarmy, corrupt cop who some lower-level cops recognize, but somehow Riggs and Murtaugh have never heard of him. That aside, he also has terrible slick back hair and the greasy stash. And just overall...
His name's Travis.
Yeah, that also Travis. Fucking sucks.
That is the antagonist. Travis.
Yeah. This guy
gets... The entire
gets...
time, I was like, what's his last name, Scott? And in my head, I'm like, that's just Travis Scott. And I know that's not true. Because this is an old white dude. So, like.
Also, I've yeah. never seen this guy in anything else. I don't know who the fuck it was. And
Hot
I'm.
Sassy?
You know who it was?
Stuart Wilson.
He's in Hot Fuzz. That's the oh. only thing I recognized him in.
But, fuck. What was I going to say? He wasn't very recognizable. Oh, I'm taking extra points away because if you look up the IMDb, who they tried to get to play this character and then they all passed on it, all would have been so much more memorable and I thought could have been exciting. You want me to pull it up real quick?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, I would like to hear that.
So give me one sec because it wasn't too deep into it.
Just Gary Busey again for some reason.
He's back.
Oh, that would be amazing.
I just got to see where we start listing actors.
Him and his teeth. Just Gary.
Robert
teeth.
De Niro was one considered.
Eh.
Pacino, I know, was one.
Man, those would be
Jack
good.
Nicholson, Gene Hackman, Al Pacino, James Caan, Alec Baldwin, John Travolta, and Michael Keaton were considered and offered the role of Jack Travis.
Any fucking one of those would have been great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
all of them. Really, they could have been Michael brought this. Keaton. This weird, yeah, Michael Keaton would have been fucking awesome. Yeah. All of those would have been so much better. But that's a roundabout way to say this guy sucked. I gave him a 1. So
a one.
Did not like him. Wasn't threatened by him. Found him very forgettable. So I'm going 1 there. And then I'm going to kick it to Ryan.
Thank you, buddy. Honestly, I was. You have swayed me. Because I was a little bit higher. I was originally a 2 out of 4. Because I think it's super fucking bland. It's the most milquetoast fucking villain you could possibly have. But what it stands for is interesting. Sure. Did they actually capitalize on the police corruption? I don't know about that as much. So I'm going to go 1.5 out of 4. A little less than average. But not the worst. Not the worst. Well, I remember Travis. No, but I will remember Police Academy 3. Lethal Weapon 3 is about police corruption and about dirty cops. I will yeah. remember that. Maybe not Travis, but I will remember dirty cops. Fuck it. I went Michael last time. I'm going to do Michael again.
I don't know if this is allowed. I give it a 0.
Yes.
Yeah, you can do 0.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Like, this dude sucked.
Yeah,
like,
respectable.
Absolutely awful. One of the worst antagonists I can ever remember. He was the Jai Courtney sidekick in Die Hard 5 of movie antagonists. Like, I don't give a shit about him.
Yeah.
The police corruption was so bad. And let's just, like, there's no motivation ever explained. This was another thing, like, when I talked about, like, some of the foundations
capitalism
laid out, right? It was just like, yeah, exactly. And, like, why is he bad? Like, who gives a shit? Like, okay, he's a bad guy and he does bad shit. All right. Like, the entire time he was leading the captain to the weapons cache, the captain was like, oh, you suck. You're awful. Travis is like, okay, but why? Like, who gives
How dare
a shit?
You jerk.
Yeah.
And again, I love he kills a cop immediately, but then we just leave the chief alive.
Made no sense.
He was so bad, so unmemorable. And
again, very cartoony in that respect.
He was like Xanatos from the Gargoyles cartoon, but not interesting, you know?
That's awesome. That's a deep, deep cut. I like that.
That was probably, that may have been like my biggest problem with this movie was that it was just like after, you know, in the first one having really good antagonists and the second one having the memorable antagonist, maybe, you know, good, who can say, but like the memorable of the diplomatic immunity guys, this one just like fell flat. IMO. And with that, I'll pass it to Sean.
Wow. Okay. So I love how Ryan started at a two and he's like, Kyle talked me down on this. And I was I'm very much so on the same boat because I started at a 2.5.
Wow. Wow.
And you guys just don't understand the world that is Streets of Fire followed by Inferno. Like, it felt good to just have an antagonist that was like, man, okay, here we go. I can sink my teeth into this. Mm-hmm. My logic was, man, so he's a corrupt cop. He's pretty vicious. He'll just shoot somebody. He'll go in. He doesn't care.
Stupidest assassination ever, by the way. He signed his own fucking name. Two cops recognized him. What the fuck? They're like, oh, we got him on camera. Who cares? Who the fuck else would have done it?
He knew there were cameras. Bitch, they knew who he was.
Yeah, they're like, hey, yeah, he's right down the hall.
Jesus Christ.
So I did go down to a two because, yes, while it will be, ultimately, I think him in general will be rather forgettable. I think, like, what Ryan said, I'll think back on Lethal Weapon 3 and be like, this is the one with the corrupt cop. You know, I didn't even remember Gary Busey was in two. And then you mentioned, I'm like, oh, hell yeah, he was. This one. Yeah, right. Just burning his arm. But Mr. I Joshua. Feel like as a corrupt cop, he like the role was really good, even if it didn't make a lot of sense. Sometimes it was, I don't want to say refreshing, but it was kind of refreshing to see like a corrupt cop actually have a lot of these plans kind of fleshed out, even if the motivations behind him, you know what his motivation was he didn't want retirement. What are you gonna do, just like retire? No, I'm gonna live a life of excitement. I'm gonna be corrupt. I'm gonna get guns and Uzis and drugs.
But were the plans fleshed out? Because he just killed a dude in an interrogation room and then went to a fucking hockey game right after.
Yeah. It.
Listen. I don't know. A lot of scenes in this movie don't make a ton of sense when you actually think about them. But like the trick is not thinking about them.
True. That's like the trick with action movies is turning the brain off. We did not talk about this hockey scene though, and that was another one that just reiterated the absolute superhero-ness. Because they're just like Riggs can literally go anywhere. He flashes his badge, and everybody's like, "Oh, it's a cop! Whoa! Sorry. Oh, do whatever you need, officer." Come into the middle of this sanctioned NHL game and just stop it. Sure.
My favorite scene of the whole movie. I love that scene so much. And the scene, like, where Leo gets shot.
I'm cold. I'm numb.
Yeah. You're on the ice, Leo. Oh, yeah. That's why I'm cold? That's why I'm numb?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The Leo bonus point.
The Pesci point.
I think this movie gets Leo right. Thought Leo was annoying as fucking sin in Lethal Weapon 2.
You did say that.
I actually really enjoyed him here. I think they used him the appropriate amount. I love the hockey scene. And then I love when he comes back a little bit later. He's just like kind of edging Rene Russo out and being like, who are you? I'm like obviously like important here. You're
the
not
best
part
friend.
Of the circle. I'm the friend. I think there's like some good stuff there. I think they finally like understand the right amount of Pesci to use. I would give this the Pesci point.
The Pesci point. Okay, so that rounds out antagonist. I finished with a 2. Body count here has a maximum score of 3, which is a oddly low number for an action movie, but it has a maximum value of 3. And I don't think Michael's had a chance to lead off one of these, so I'm going to kick it over to you.
All right. The more I... Okay, I originally had a 1. I'm going to bump it up to 2. Because, I don't know. I don't really have a reason. There are bodies flying, I guess. They get beat up a lot. The entire scene at the end with the burning buildings and, like, all of the dudes you've... So, like, what's memorable to me about this is, like, you recognize some of the villains along the way, and I think that kind of adds a little more depth to when they actually bite the dust. So, like, the guy who's the right-hand man to Jack Travis, that's the guy's name, and, like, all the other minor henchmen, but you still kind of see him. And then, like, the dude who's handling, picking up all the weapons from the garage, you see him get killed. I think that kind of adds a weight to it. So I'll bump it up to a 2.
I will also add to yours the young policeman who they build up and then get shot. The Danny Glover's son's friend gets shot. The body count is maybe small, but you're right. It's very impactful. It is very important.
There's a curve, and I think it applies here. Mm-hmm. Ryan's gone second every time, so I'll pass it to him.
I'm right there with Michael. I completely agree with him. I don't think I listened to like that Inferno episode, and Phil had a very good point of like a 3 out of 3 is like the movies where like hundreds of people die. And that's not this movie. This movie is not that at all, but it's very impactful when people do die. They mean something. And so I'm right there with Michael. I think a 2 out of 3 is perfect for this one. Let's go with Sean.
I'm right there with you. I actually, I think, argued a point last week with Phil on that while it didn't have a huge body count, they were deaths that mattered. And so me giving this movie a 2, even with that being so fresh in my mind, was solely based on the fact that most of the deaths that you see on scene, they have a name, they have a face that you recognize, they matter. Whether it be Murtaugh's son's friend that he kills, or like what Michael said, the henchmen that you've seen a million times through the movie, like most of them carry weight. And then there were times where just a handful of people died here, a handful of people died there. But a lot of times when you're seeing someone die, it's a little bit heavier. Hmm. And Billy dying at the end, like, oh man, kid, that little yuppie just turned 21, man.
Not the baby. Not a baby.
Not the baby.
Not the baby.
Who I just, while looking at some stuff on here, that was Mark Pellegrino, who I really enjoy, and he's in Beverly Hills Cop Axel F. So I look forward to that.
Okay.
Kyle, how about you finish this off with some body counters?
Yeah, so fellas, this is the first bingo of the episode, and I don't have to elaborate much more than say, yeah, agree, it's a 2, 100%. Wrote a 2, you guys covered everything, so we're going to jump right on to settings and theme. And for this one, again, this is a movie set in L.A. in the 90s. Rampant police brutality. Think it nails it. I gave it a 3. So even though part of it doesn't take place in L.A., that's the magic of filmmaking. You'd never know. So,
yeah.
I don't know. I don't really have much more to elaborate on that. L.A. is like a character in this movie, and I feel it kind of is. We don't have the stereotypical chase through the L.A. River or the L.A. canals, which really is what cements an L.A. movie. But other than that, I think it nails it pretty great. The police corruption was absolutely a huge issue in the LAPD, and I like that they just sort of ran with that. Although, even though Murtaugh and Riggs are two of the most destructive forces in the force, they're somehow still the good cops, even though they waste millions in taxpayer dollars. They blew up a fucking building because he couldn't wait for the bomb squad.
So, 10 minutes.
Yeah.
What do they say? 5 minutes, 10 minutes, yeah. The bomb squad's on the way.
It's so perfect. Again, uh-huh. Superhero.
It was so extra.
Yeah. Looney Tunesification. They went with it, and I love it. Since we just had a trend, I'm going to buck the trend. I'm going to kick it to Michael this time.
Ooh. All right. I went with a 2 out of... Wait, is that a 3, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I went with 2 out of 3. I agree with much of the reasons you said, Kyle, but maybe this is the issue of seeing this movie for the first time through the lens of what we've had going on recently mm-hmm. in America, where it's just like police corruption is like, oh yeah, that's just a thing everywhere. So like, if the jersey didn't say LA Kings in the hockey game, I would have completely forgotten like where this took place, but like it just wouldn't have mattered. But then what you said again about this being right before the riots and everything, it does kind of add up a little bit. So I mean, it's fine. It works, I guess. Yeah, and I don't really have much else to add other than that. So I'll throw it to Sean.
I mean, I'm going to agree with both of you on that because I think that you both make very good points, but I'm going to actually marry them. Even if I didn't see the jerseys and know that this was in LA, like, I feel like this could have taken place in any large city and it still would have worked just as well for me, because what worked for me was the fact that these were two cops that literally can find trouble around every single corner or make their own trouble yep. around every single corner, and it just hits for me. And so while this was very I feel like in a lot of other movies this could get like a very low setting from me, I think it is just so perfect for this movie. So I'm actually gonna go with a 3 as well. I thought it was incredible. I think the tone, the placement, it all just works really well together for me. Ryan, what about you?
I am so glad you all enjoyed the setting and theme so much. I really thought I was going to be the one who really loved the theme the most, because I was into that corruption and all of that stuff. But like I said, I think it's messy at best. And like, you take the setting, and I agree with what Sean and Michael said about it kind of feeling like this could be like literally any city. It's not the city that's important in this story necessarily. It's like these cartoon characters and the police corruption. And the police corruption is the theme. And the guns on the street and all of this. And I feel like it's almost there. It's just not quite to what I would consider like a positive. So for that, like, I'm right down the middle. I think this is like a 1.5 out of 3 for me. I really like what it's trying to do. I think it's a little messy in kind of its storytelling and what it's doing with the themes. And again, the setting is just irrelevant to the character. The character is the most important thing in Lethal Weapon, it seems.
Mm-hmm. That's so fair.
Sorry.
1.5. Ryan, I don't know if it's been somebody that's not me or Kyle to end this, but surprise, you're the last one, which means you get to either start muscles it off to somebody. You get to explain that category.
Oh, I'll start off muscles.
You interpret.
I'll start off muscles. You get a fat 0 from me. I don't think there's any muscles in this movie. There's no like actual like skin like showing of anything. I don't even think I remember seeing a bicep fucking in this movie. Obviously, like, humans have to have muscles to do like the things that these cartoon characters are doing, but like, do we see it? No. And I think that's important. Like, if a 2 out of 2 muscle movie is like Arnold Schwarzenegger and you see like every fucking crease and fold of his fucking musculature, that's a 2. This movie is fucking none of that. 0. 0. Straight 0. I think Kyle might agree with me. Kyle, what are your thoughts on some muscles?
It's weird, Ryan. It's like we hosted a show together for so long, because you can read me like a book. Absolutely, a 0. There, even like in this movie, you expect now 1 of 2 things: either a giant goon who is the sub boss before the final boss, or the tiny Kung Fu expert, who also is the sub boss before the main boss. We have neither of those here. It's just a lot of explosive gunfights, and nobody stands out in that regards either. You could have had like a crazy good marksman that has Riggs and Murtaugh pinned down until they do like some elaborate like distraction thing. All kinds of things could have happened, which could also have tied into antagonist. He drives a bulldozer. It sucks. Zero muscles, man. Big fat zero. And to make things interesting and see where we kick off from, I'm going to kick it to Sean.
Goose eggs, baby. If this movie had a muscle car in it, it would have gotten a 0.5 for me being generous. But it didn't even have that. There is no muscle seen anywhere in this movie. Nah, dog. Hey,
like, Mel Gibson is almost fully nude, and there's no muscle.
Murtaugh's almost fully true. Nude.
But he's...
And there's no
he's
muscle.
Too old for this
with
shit.
His whole family, like, every fucking time.
They do love to hang around the
always
bath.
Our Murtaugh family bath party at the and end of each one of these?
They even add to the lore that you can clearly see his penis in these yes. bathtubs.
Yes.
Every time. You can, and like, even his son, like, looks at it and almost gives him a wink, like, oh, yeah, dad, I see that dick. It's and a little odd. Because it's his
like,
wife, his two daughters,
it.
His son, Mel Gibson. And he's like, Mel Gibson's also like, hey, Murtaugh, that's a nice dick, dog.
Yeah.
But yeah, the dick is not a muscle, no matter how much some people want it to be. Actually,
and
it's,
we don't
it's
see
just
it,
a giant
so
muscle.
Zero.
But, zero. All right.
Michael, what you got?
I'm stunned that I'm the only person that gave this anything.
Wow.
But I only gave it a 0.5.
Ah, okay. Okay.
Because of the, you know, battle scars scene with Riggs mm-hmm. and Cole, where Riggs is almost completely nude. He's got something. There's not nothing. And that's why I didn't give it a zero.
Okay. Okay.
Which. Maybe I'm being generous, but
it's all subjective, dog.
What?
I said it's all subjective, dog.
It's yeah, you know, it's 2024. It's about loving yourself, I guess. But that's the only reason I didn't give it a zero was specifically that scene.
Okay.
But you guys almost talked me down to a zero.
Wait till you hear what I have to say about butts.
Okay.
Oh, no.
Ryan, okay, so our next category is butts, maximum of two. Ryan.
Oh, wait, glad
or Michael, you can choose whoever.
Oh, yeah. It's a maximum of two. I also said 0.5 for butts. Because there's the scene where Riggs and Cole are sharing their battle scenes, and Riggs strips to almost nude. And he's in, like, the black Hanes tidy whities.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted a pair of those after seeing this.
Hell yeah.
Not joking.
But if it weren't for that, probably wouldn't have given it anything, if I'm being okay. perfectly honest. You do see some action shots with Rene Russo when she's doing the kung fu, but she's kind of got the...
There's no butt. There's no butt. There's I will no fight butt. You. Rene it's, Russo it's, has no butt.
It's mom jean butt.
There's no butt.
Yeah, it's mom jean no butt.
I don't even think it's mom jean butt, personally.
Or no, it's I'm sorry.
Ryan's going minus one here.
It's good mom old, jean butt good old pancake butt, just like mom used to make. That's the
yeah,
joke.
Yeah, it's you could drizzle that shit over pancakes.
I'm sorry, Dan Gilroy. There is no butt.
So I also went 0.5 on butts, adding up our total body image to a possible one out of Ooh. Four.
I hate that you said body
I didn't
image
realize
because
it
now
was
I'm going
like
to go bad about
back
my scores.
Just objectification.
So, because I know it's a subject dear to him, I'm going to go to Kyle next.
Sure. I think also because of that, number one, I love Sean because I do feel he tailor-made this category for me. I also will probably be the most generous in the butt category. But also, like all of these, butt is open to subjecture, speculation. You interpret it the way that you want to. And that can also change week to week, which I am applying to this week. Because you do have Mel Gibson butt, which I agree with you would warrant a half a point per se. But There is also a pretty fantastic butt joke in this movie where Riggs and Murtaugh sign Leo up for a surprise proctology exam on his ass, which is a butt, and that scene was fucking hilarious, and I'm bumping it up. I gave this a 1 on the butt scale, so.
Wow.
Yeah.
That scene I forgot about until this very moment, and yeah, it's that pretty great. Scene.
I love it. Hilarious. It's just so casual, too. Mel Gibson goes, oh, is this Leo's chart? Let me see this. And just turns around and walks away, and he's like, how do you spell proctology? So, yeah, a 1. Ryan, what about you, buddy? What'd you give on butts?
This is the episode where Kyle talks me up because I was at a 0. I was a butt hater here. Just because people have butts doesn't mean they're quality butts. Mm-hmm. And we saw a little bit of Mel Gibson's butt, but we didn't see like all of Mel Gibson's butt we did in Lethal Weapon 1. So like what we got here was really just like a little bit of a cock tease after we got the full fucking sample in like the first two movies. And now we're just like giving like, here's a little sampling taste. It's lesser than. So I was at a 0. Until Kyle brought up that goddamn Leo joke about the proctology, and he's right. Like, that's worth something. So I'm at a 0.5, only for the butt joke.
Like I said, you can interpret it any way you want, baby.
Sean, where are you at, my dude?
0.
Ooh, yeah, Sean still sticks with his gun.
This movie deserves a big fat 0. I don't care if there's a butt joke in here. That was a covered up Mel Gibson booty.
Yep.
This is an action movie. You got to show them cheeks or something.
Yeah. Some sort of skin in the
0.
Game. Love it.
Preach.
Hey, yep. Kudos 0. To you, Shawnee boy. Stick to the guns, baby.
Even in PG-13 movies, you see some buns. This is a rated R.
This is a fucked up action movie that the butt category is automatically higher than the muscle category. That's not right. That's just
neither
right.
Of them are very high.
Yeah. That's the way the cookie crumbles sometimes, baby. I blame 1992.
Oh, my God. Boys, music with a maximum of 2. I think it's hilarious that that's higher than quips. But it is a maximum of 2. I give it a 0.5.
Mm.
I thought the music in this movie sure was fine. It did not fit this movie at all. Whenever it came on to me, I was like, man, this is so out of place. I love me some Eric Clapton, but this to me was very weird. It was very 1992, but like in the wrong way. I would enjoy that elsewhere in a different movie. Didn't hit for me. 0.5.
It was 1992 Kyle. In the wrong way is also now my favorite quote.
I like that. That is gonna stick with me. You know, as we're allowed to do in here, Sean has actually swayed my choice here a bit. I on the other hand, I did quite enjoy the music for the most part, because the one thing I did appreciate, it sticks with the theme of the other Lethal Weapons. We have the saxophone. But I also kind of see more Sean's point. It doesn't fit where the movie is at this point because it has gotten... It's not the dark, gritty film noir of the first movie. So we don't need this smoky saxophone anymore. But it does... I like that it keeps the theme. So I'm taking it down from my 2. I'm giving it a 1. I'm going to split the difference. Say 1. So, Michael, where are you at music-wise?
Because of exactly the reason that you said, I give it a 0.
Okay.
And don't look at me like that, Ryan.
I will look however I want to, and that's a deserved look.
So, I don't know if this is an issue with the mixing of the movie as a whole, mm-hmm. but yeah, the gritty noir sax, like, completely drowns out like a dialogue at certain points. Mm-hmm. It's just like, we don't need to hear this right now. Like, we're not looking at, you know, dead prostitutes on a porn movie right now. Like, they're just eating a burger right now. There's not a whole lot going on. It just completely what Sean said too, it just didn't really fit of what it was trying to do. And I found that very distracting. Even if it did sort of keep the theme with Lethal Weapon, it did not hit for me. Ryan?
Hot damn. All right. Well, I'm going to die in this hill tonight. this was a 2 for me. Okay. Like, full stop. I love the soundtrack here. I think, God, I'm just fucking actually... God, I'm flabbergasted. I'm fucking taken aback. I actually was like, watching this movie, I thought, I really kind of miss the saxophone. I wish there was more saxophone. I thought they actually did a really good job of like tempering it down with like some like orchestral like other sounds. And like, I was really into those sounds, but like, I was shocked by how little saxophone there was. And then you guys are like, the saxophone was blaring. I was like, wow. All right. So I don't know. Shit. No, I don't know what to think anymore. What's reality? I remember being like, I don't know much when it comes to these categories, but this is a 2 for me because I'm really digging the soundtrack, the saxophone, when it does come, which is like, I thought they didn't put enough saxophone in there.
I love that.
I just thought they had like a cowbell. Really good theme. Like, without the saxophones, like, they had like some really good horns and strings for like...
They had really nice strings throughout a lot of the chase scenes.
Yeah, especially during the chase scenes. And I thought it was like very perfectly suited. I'm kind of surprised. I'm going to stubbornly, like a donkey, stick with my 2.
Go for it.
Yo, that stick to your guns, dude.
Mark my surprise. Mark my surprise.
You know, I would have been much higher. And let me just say, I would have been much higher if not. Okay, so the movie started, and I thought, wow, this is kind of a weird song to open this movie with what's going on. And then it wasn't that bad. And I enjoyed it. Like I said, I love some Clapton. I love that.
And some
that
Sting.
Movie twangy stuff.
Clapton and Sting. Yeah.
But the problem is the end of the movie when everything happens and it cuts into that music at the end of the movie. I was like, I came back to it. I was like, this is a choice. Why am I listening to this right now? This is terrible. So that's kind of where...
I'm okay with it, and I honestly, like, I love this era when we made just dumb shit songs for movies mm-hmm. that never appeared anywhere else. It's just like, hey, if you want to hear this fucking Sting song, it's on Lethal Weapon soundtrack. And that's fucking the only place you're going
to
hear it.
This was like, the 90s to early 2000s.
It was very nostalgic. Is it cheesy? Is it cringe? Fuck yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's weird and off-putting, but I kind of dug it. I'm sorry.
All right, Ryan. You got quips.
I'm sorry.
Quips with a max of 1. No sorries.
Do not ever apologize.
Yeah, baby. You're perfect.
Everybody likes what they like, Stock.
You're perfect.
You're beautiful.
Where are you at on these quips?
Oh, shit. I guess I have to start it.
You in the driver's seat.
Vroom, vroom. And it's out of 1. Toot. So that's like a really small margin. I'll probably give it a 0.5. I think it's probably straight in the middle. I was not annoyed by the quips like I was in the second movie. Like, I kind of like, we talked about like the cop killer bullets, and then I like the line at the end, like, ex-cop killer bullets. there's like a few things that are decent. But nothing really great. Nothing horrible, but nothing great. So just straight down the middle for me, 0.5. Michael, you bobbing that head back and forth. What are your thoughts?
I'm going back and forth because you're right that there's nothing that like, well, no, I shouldn't say that. I gave it a 1, actually. I was pretty on board with the quips. The Uranus joke was so good. Like, that was excellent.
They shoved a telescope up my ass.
No. What?
Oh,
so
come on.
Good?
Well, because maybe it was good for me because just like I could sense it coming. Mm-hmm. Like when he said something about so big enough to see Neptune, and I was just like, oh my God, Mel Gibson's going to go there. He's teeing it up right now. And boom, it's like, I guess they only saw Uranus. Perfect. It was just.
Joe Pesci didn't. He's like, ah, ha, 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 ha.
Yeah. Oh my God. It was just. It hit the right notes for me. It was good.
Right,
but on top of that, yeah, you had the ex-cop killer bullets. And then when they're in the shooting range, when the young cop, like, does the thing, and he's like, oh, yeah, good. Go hang it up on your mom's refrigerator for something. I was like, ah, got him. Mm-hmm. He got the rookie.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
So I enjoyed them for what they were, even if, you know, like you said, a scale of 0 to 1 is kind of hard to navigate. But just mm-hmm. because I could remember quite a few of them is really good, I'll give it a 1.
Okay.
And I'll pass it to Sean.
I'm actually also going to give it a 1 as well. Sometimes you don't need to find fault on some of these. Sometimes the quips are just good. And, you know, sure, they could be better. They could be more plentiful. They could be more memorable. But I think this deserves a full-on 1. I think this may be, like, the most far back movie, one of the earliest made movies that I remember, like, just word being like a nonstop through line in this movie. Word, Ryan. Word, Kyle. Word, Michael.
Oh my God.
And like
that, yeah, the whole conversation around word in this movie is a great little time capsule that I love.
And the weird little like dad trying to incorporate like the youngin's slang into the daily thing, like, I'm at that point now where if I say something someone young says, like,
talking about that,
I get looked at. Yeah.
Skibbity.
Weird dad.
Skibbity toilet.
Age person, you know?
I like adding pussy on the end of words.
No. That's a 1 for me. Kyle, what did you give
it? So quips have varying degrees of quips. I think a Schwarzenegger or a Sylvester Stallone quip is impactful because those guys don't say a lot. Mel Gibson's character, as I alluded to earlier, he's not the buff super soldier. He's the lovable rogue. And I think he fills that role very well. Also, he's very much Spider-Man-esque in that he's always dropping lines Deadpool. On these villains. Or sure, Deadpool too. But I mean, he's always mouthing off. He almost starts every fight with like a sly, like, hey, fellas, what are we doing here? You know, he just like they're not iconic, but there's a through line and he has a lot of them. So I gave it a 1 as well. I think quips are good.
Just curious, of the quips in the Lethal Weapon movie so far, where do you all rank this one?
I think this one's the best.
Are these some of the best quips so far for you, or is there a, has it
I
been
would think
done
so.
Better?
Because for me, I don't remember a lot from the first few, because especially in the first one, like he's the suicidal drunk, so he's not so cut uppery. But by
it's
the time we get
quippy.
To
yeah,
by the time we get here and we've embraced the superhero cartoon cop thing. We're in this buddy cop defining genre where, yeah, he is dropping quip. He's a lot more laid back. He doesn't have the pain of his lost wife. He's embraced life, so he's more fun. It sucks so much that Mel Gibson is such a piece of shit in real life, you know?
Yeah.
Really does.
Yeah. Yo, you should tag him to listen to this episode.
I will. And also, fuck you, Mel Gibson. relax, bro. Was I last on quips? Or is...
You are.
Okay. So for story. Story is our one hard-to-find category where it can either be a 1 or a 0. Not beating around the bush. I think overall, there is a story here. You follow it. It's easy to... It gets a 1 for me. It's clear-cut. I understood what was going on at every time in this movie. So while it may be a little jumbled and it jumps around and adds stuff, there's a through line I could easily follow. So it gets a 1 for me. Ryan, what about you, buddy?
Probably not great that you picked me next because I agree with everything you said and I don't really have anything different to add. I agree. It is, I think there's a story here. It's a little jumbled, but I think they have a goal that they set out to accomplish. They do. And I agree. If it's a simple yes, no, yes for story. Sean.
We have had a zero story, by the way.
I bet.
I haven't, because I'm very yes, no as well, and I cannot wait until I get into an action movie where I'm like, that had no fucking story. This had a story. There's nothing more to add. Beginning, end, there's a through line. There's a story. That's a one. Michael.
Okay, I'm glad I went last to... Hold on. Let me finish. Let me cook. To hear the reasoning... Because I was just, every time I'm hearing you guys talk, it's like, oh, shit, this doesn't mean, like, did you like the story? And I was just like, is it there a story? And for that, I gave it a one, which, yes, maybe it's okay. Not as good as I would have hoped it would be. But, like, I remember everything that happened in the movie, I'm pretty sure. So I think that is good in terms of how it was formed and how it was presented. So, sure, yeah. I'll give it a one.
How did you interpret story?
Was the story good or not?
And did you give that a zero?
I gave that a zero.
I like that. I mean, we can roll with that. I would have
agreed with that.
Yeah.
That's up to your own interpretation.
Okay,
yeah, man.
Okay, so I didn't... Because you guys said this one was like hard and fast. So,
well,
okay.
Just meaning that you can't give it a 0.5. You either have to be yes or no. That's what we mean with story. Like,
okay. So then I'll say zero. Okay. Because... it was a little jumbled. I hated the antagonist.
Sure.
The whole stuff with Murtaugh retiring and it weighing kind of on him. I like that. I understand like how it developed into the end. It was like, I can't retire. It was just like, okay, well then what was the point of all this trauma throughout the whole thing, I guess. Didn't really land for me.
Sure.
So like I would say... if I could give it like a middle, I'd probably be on like the higher end of the lower half.
Like,
but that pushes
4.
It down to zero for me.
But yeah, we don't, like, we don't do that.
4.3. Yeah.
If the main story of this movie was just gets
like a
0.6, trying
but I'm still
to
offended.
Sell the house, what's the story right in here?
I think our intention, at least the way I interpreted story as a category too, is that honestly. An action movie doesn't need a story, like, and in theory, in air quotes theory. So it's okay to give a zero. Like, you would almost expect an action movie to have a zero in the story category because who fucking cares? It's an action movie, you know? So, fuck it, man. Give it a zero. Eat shit, Mel Gibson. I'll say it again. All right. If you're listening.
You got a zero, Mel. Suck it.
So that takes
Richard
us to...
Donner. Average director at best.
He did Superman.
It's okay.
I know, but that theme song.
Christopher Reeves, great.
Superman's a bad.
The John Williams scene, great. The movie itself.
I just
itself,
went to Symphony on the Prairie, and they did John Williams.
Woo!
They played Superman.
Did you get it? I'm clutching
I
my
got
heart
a little
right
bit.
Now. God
I got
damn.
A little bit.
It
they
feels
did,
me
so
with so much
John
hope,
Williams.
Man.
They did Jaws. They did Ooh. Star Wars. They did Close Encounters. They
all
did
of the greatest hits from Williams.
Yeah, it was when, just...
Was John Williams there?
No. Actually, yes, he was sitting right next to me.
No, Sean saw him. Like, he came and conducted
He plays here. He comes here every year. He's got his film night.
No, nah, it was just... It was.
I go see him every year.
It was the Indie Symphony Orchestra.
Ooh. It's killer still. I mean, John Williams rocks. There's no John Williams hate on this podcast.
Fucking dope.
Who the fuck hates John Williams, honestly? I do not like that person.
I will say, the Indiana Shut up, Jones Brian. Raiders of the Ark love theme with Marion, very, very familiar to the Leia Organa theme.
Is
almost
it?
Like he was a little bit lazy. Otherwise, I agree.
I will say, every time that there's a film night, when they start that theme, you aren't able to tell which one he's going to go
into. You never know which way it's going to go. It starts the exact same way in both ones.
Yep.
It's in the same...
Every year.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit.
If you don't
you
look at...
You heard it here
like,
first, folks. John Williams?
Yeah.
Lazy. Confirmed. Check the box.
Every artist does
John Williams? Fuck you. Zero. If you're listening, fuck you, John Williams. Zero.
I'm retired for nothing, gets a zero old man. On
John Williams.
The John Williams category. All right, that. Fellas, we have one final category here. It's our bonus category where we have the again, as all of these, they're open to interpretation, but we call this the cool, unique, kick-ass weapon. Is there a weapon in the movie that you felt elevated itself? It stuck out. It was unique. It was memorable. It was impactful.
Read the sheet. It says dope weapon bonus.
Dope
Kyle.
Weapon bonus.
Is it a dope weapon?
I just wrote bonus and then I gave my score, which spoiler alert, I'm giving it a 1 because of the cool ass cop killer bullets. They do have power. Okay. They are unique. Okay. They stand out. I think it's cool. It's a unique thing to this movie and that has impact, and it Chekhov's guns a little bit. Oh, that's what Chekhov's roundhouse kick also comes back to play with Murtaug. He learns how to do it. That's a good payoff. I like that too.
Are they just armor-piercing bullets that are called a cool name, though?
I think so. They also call them dum-dums, which I've heard because they say Joe Pesci got shot with a dum-dum round. They are like a real thing. They are just armor-piercing. But in this movie, they're a little enhanced because they do go through like 4 parts of this bulldozer. But then also they just get stopped by 2 bulletproof vests. But psh, psh, psh.
That's kind of, why I'm like, are they really that cool?
That's more plot armor, which again, whatever. We have plot armor also when Mel Gibson gets hit in the back of the head with a 2x4 instead of shot when he's in the shootout with gang members. But
that's fair.
Action movie. We glossing over that. I'm giving it a 1. Ryan, what do you say about a bonus weapon?
Well, I didn't even think about the cop killer bullets because I just saw them as bullets.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. Like
nicer bullets. I was going to suggest, does a dog count as a weapon? Because if so, we get a little bit of that like John Wick 3 dog action here. Just a little taste. Not like anything grand or great. But the dog definitely
is a good scene.
Is used as a way for Mel Gibson and Rene Russo to escape. So I would consider it a weapon. Mm-hmm. I don't know if anybody else considers it a weapon, though.
I like when the dog is like escaping, but it escapes because the henchman, like, as an ADR, is like, make sure to go kill the dog, too. And then the dog, like, oh, I gotta get the fuck out of here. Mark! And he jumps on the guy that said it. I was like, fucking kudos, man.
Good boy.
Yeah. So yeah, I would say dog counts. We'll discuss. We'll see.
I think it absolutely counts.
Okay.
It counts.
Okay.
Absolutely. So then I would also go 1.
1 point. Bada boom.
For the dog. Which one of you actually has an answer ready to go? I don't know. You both have a kind of I'm going to bullshit you look on your face. I'm going to go with Sean. That's probably wrong, but I'm going to go with Sean. Sean has an answer, huh?
Dogs. Hey, man, I come prepared. I may change my answers while you guys talk, but I come prepared. Dum-dums. Hey, that made me think of Ralph Fiennes in Brugge.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Dum-dums? Who wouldn't take some dum-dums?
Okay.
The dum-dums, I thought they were a as soon as I heard them the first time, I knew that some ridiculous shit was gonna happen. And then when he's blasting holes in the freaking bulldozer like blade in the front to kill the guy, I'm like, this is the most ridiculous thing I've seen in this entire movie, which is crazy.
Mm-hmm.
But that was ridiculous. Between that, I think the dog is a great point as well. I think overall, I mean, either one of those, I think, could take a dope weapon bonus point. Or what was that? A hammer that he threw at him and like killed him in the chest? That really jumped out at me. I thought that was pretty dope. So regardless, I would give this a bonus point. Michael.
Okay. I need a clarifying comment here. Can we only have 1 and like that sets it over, or can we have like a combination?
Let's discuss.
Up to you.
Present your argument.
Okay, so I don't think there is any one dope-ass weapon that would want me to put this over, you know, or, like, have a big standout. However, I think if you point to the cop killers, the hammer kill, and using the collapsing half-built buildings to kill people, I think you could, like, amalgamate those three into okay. one point. And then that's why I gave it one.
I agree with you. I'll give you that.
Okay. There's enough dopeness mm-hmm. to get a point.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're siphoning dopeness from different points of the movie, and I think that's enough to give it a one for me.
All right. Agreed. All
right, boys. We have reached the end of our kick-assometer here, and it's time to tally those points.
Yep.
I am going to say right off the bat, I am floored that this is my highest scoring movie of this month.
Also for me as well.
Floored.
So
I'm just gonna lead off and say 14.5.
Wow, okay.
I have 14.5 out of 23. That may not sound very high to anybody else if this is your first one. But if you go back to the very beginning of this episode when Ryan asks, what's the highest scoring one that you've had? I think mine were a low of like 11 and maybe a high of 13. So this, even without the bonus point, it was still the highest scoring movie of the month. Michael, what about you?
Let me double check my math. Okay. I ended up with 11. It was kind of tanked by antagonist and body image. The action, I think, did bring it up quite a bit. And I think that's sort of, you know, this is kind of a strange weighted grading scale here that we have. But yeah. I think looking at it, I would say this sort of resonates with my experience. It is in my opinion, it was like a solid middle of the road film that I'm happy, I guess, that I watched. But I don't know if I need to come back to it again.
Sure.
So, yeah. I ended up with 11. What about you, Kyle?
This, like I said, or like Sean said, was his highest scoring one. It is for me, too. I'm probably going to be the highest of the episode as well. I came in at a whopping 16, gentlemen.
Ooh, wow.
16 on Lethal Weapon 3, which would also lead you to believe that this is my favorite action movie we've covered. It's not, but just based on the score meter here, and its action movie overall mean average, it scored very high. 16 is pretty well, pretty high. Highest so far since we started. So,
I think it was a better action movie than all of the other ones, but it wasn't my favorite.
Sure. I agree with that too. Ryan, take us home, baby boy. What's your overall final score on Lethal Weapon 3?
So I would have guessed that I think I enjoyed this movie the most out of everyone here. But I definitely did not beat Kyle or Sean. I'm at a 13.5, which I think, for whatever it is, probably accurately represents about where I'm at. Like, I don't think this is any masterpiece, but if the needle is like what, 11.5 is average, this is definitely above average for me, but not by like a lot. It is a good action movie. Not a great action movie, and there's like a lot lacking in certain areas that Michael definitely pointed out. The antagonist is a big forgettable fart, but like I think the themes are interesting.
Things as a
that
fart
saves it for me. Oh, you know, there are more farts than butts in this action movie. It is, you know, it's messy. It is messy. So
messy farts.
No, no, 13.5. I think it's about perfect. Oddly, this score. The system works. I don't know how. That's about where I feel. Yeah.
Somebody get Dave and Brian on the phone and let them know that they've got a new rating system to try out.
They can rent it from us for a nominal fee.
They can license it.
Yeah, that's what I meant, license it. All right, boys. Well, this is another fun, fantastic end to an action movie month. God damn it, I love tradition. I love that you boys are part of this tradition. I love talking to you two dudes, especially about this shit. I loved it so much, and Sean brought up the idea of bringing guests on for action movies outside of this month. And that made, I immediately wrote one down. I'd like to pitch it and would invite you guys back on sooner before December. What do you guys think about Speed 2?
Cruise Control? Yes, yeah. Please.
Yeah. I'm down. I'm here.
We all have, all right. Defoe. Well, I know, dude, because of the poor antagonist and because I loved Willem Dafoe once this month, I was like, and Speed 2 is not a big commitment. That's a one-off we can easily throw on. Bada mm-hmm. boom, bada bing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
All right. We'll get one set up at some point in the coming months.
I enjoy one-offs.
Yeah.
And I enjoy chatting with you guys. So seriously, anytime that we can just watch something and just sit around and talk for a bit. I like hearing everybody's different, like going through these different categories was really fascinating to see where everybody's headspace was on different things. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of fun.
It's always fun. I love you boys. But goddamn, we didn't want to get to 2 hours and we're really creeping up on it, fellas. So I'm going to shut us the fuck up. Say I love you both so much. Thank you as always for hanging out with us, talking this shit. And, you know, we'll see you next time, everybody. Michael, why don't you tell the listeners what they can go do? It can be anything.
They can go tell Mel Gibson to go fuck himself?
Hey!
Hey, that's really good.
What a Gibson's gun check off. Bye, everybody.
Behind everyone's answer. Would you rather, Ryan, feel like you have to sneeze all the time but never sneeze?
Mm.
Or would you sweat mayonnaise?
Oh.
What? Ooh. Oh, man.
I didn't see that second one coming at all.
No one ever does.
Well, I mean, this is a very telling thing, right? Would you rather be in a state of discomfort or put yourself in a place where you could be, like, potentially publicly humiliated? This is what it comes down to. And ultimately...
I didn't know you were going to say humiliated. I celebrated too early.
I'm sorry. Or public... Do you think people would celebrate you? Like, you would be...
You're a condiment man.
Freak?
Give me my mayo.
I think that would
Yo,
be worse.
Let me you're catch up to you with my McChicken.
You're like the Mr. Beast, but you make fucking body mayonnaise. And like that's like a horrible existence. I don't know. No, sorry, so you've now fully convinced me. I think I would rather just have to sneeze forever.
The feeling of having to sneeze and not sneezing makes me want to stab myself in the eye with my own dick that I've cut off and shellacked into a letter opener.
But you are literally like so much. Mayonnaise is coming out at all times. This is not just like when you're in a heavy sweat. This is like a thing you do. You're sleeping, fucking mayonnaise in your sheets. You're
you
fucking walking around, mayonnaise.
You will never
clothes.
Have to buy mayonnaise ever again.
That's not
I
a
would
fucking
go to
good
McDonald's
thing.
And be like, listen,
yo,
just wipe that entire chicken on my
dog.
Go
if it was like truffle sauce pouring out
go
of you, that's something different.
And be like,
mayonnaise
you guys never
like
have, you don't have to spend any
food.
More money on production ever again.
Dog,
put
that's
me
just egg
in
sweat.
A sauna. I will
an egg
give
sauna.
You your life support.